I just woke up this day. Then I went to my mother crying. Then I said, Auntie's going to die today. After some hours later, my mom received a call that the lady had passed away. Mara, yeah. I would see things like demons. Then yeah. I would cry to my mom, like, I'm seeing something. Then they'd be like, no, rest.
Sure.
So my mom was confused, like, so what do I call you? Are you a prophet? Are you a sangoma? Are you what? Because the things that you say, they come to pass.
Yes.
When you meet Jesus,
you know, you don't
need any explanation.
Yo.
Then I met him sitting on the well. They're trying to force that crown on my head. I'm refusing. And then one said, if you refuse to take this crown, we are going to cause untimely death to your mother.
You're working for two different kingdoms.
Yeah.
And you are both aware of that. Is it not awkward when
it
you
is.
Go home?
It is.
Morisei, San Fam, and welcome to another episode of I've Been Through the Most. Hola, San Bonani, Dumelang, Wararapo. I'm hoping we're representing, you know, those African continents.
We're trying,
and countries, right? Absolutely love it when we, you know, try and accommodate because we see the flags in the description box. Well, in the comment section, we see it, of course.
Yes.
And also, we respond.
Again.
Okay, yes.
Again.
So we see all those flags in the comment section and we respond and we see you guys greeting us back in your languages. It's so beautiful to see.
It's amazing. Indeed, Africa is incredible. And we are so blessed to have you support the podcast, subscribe to the family. Make sure that if you are not subscribed, you subscribe right now and become part of the Send Fam. And if you want to become a family member, it's very easy. Subscription is free. To subscribe, no one's going to charge you, absolutely free. But if you're saying, me, I've got money, charge me, then yeah, you know what? You can join us as a member. There's a button that says join. You can join as a member. And there are three options there. Very, very reasonable. You are helping us to say, go ahead and continue to do what you do.
Yes, and it's not just Africa, you know. We are so global. We are very global. And I love that every time we travel, because my sister and I travel a lot, people like, we watch your podcast. We're recently in Vietnam. There are people that we met there. We're going to France soon. And people are like, we see the podcast. We know the podcast. I'm like, what? We absolutely love it. So hello, hola, welcome. This is I've Been Through the Most podcast on Saint Twins TV. Whether you're watching us on YouTube, listening to us on Spotify or Apple Podcast,
welcome.
We're also available on social media platforms. We post our promos there. We post the link to the episode every time we post. So make sure when you see it, you like, you comment, and you share.
Let us get into our episode today. We have Apostle Aaron who is here to share his story. Welcome.
Thank you very much for having me. How are you?
It's a
we
pleasure.
Are fantastic. You are looking so
amazing.
Dressed up for the episode,
thank you,
right?
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for being here. Can you kindly introduce yourself to our audience and give us a background of where you come from?
My name is Aaron Tefazo Isaac. I come from Zimbabwe originally, but I stay here in South Africa, and I got married here in South Africa to a beautiful woman. It's one woman. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So I come from a family of three girls, and I'm the only boy. I was raised in the Anglican church from my mother's side because my mom was the one into Anglican.
Okay.
And I did my studies in theology. I have a degree in theology studies. Yeah, I'm
wonderful.
A man of God. I'm a fisherman.
Yes. Come on.
Yeah, that's me.
And a pastor. Wow.
Yeah.
So when did the call start?
Let me take you back a bit.
Yeah.
When I was a young boy, I think around 5 or 6 years old, I used to see things to a point whereby my mom's little sister, the one who comes after her, her husband is his sister that was looking for a job. And my mom looked for the job for her, and then they invited her to come and stay across the road where we used to stay. So this lady, she fell sick, and then she was admitted in the hospital. And then when she was admitted, I just woke up this day. Then I went to my mother crying. And then I said, Auntie's going to die today. Because she was a good lady, you know, she had a good heart. And then I said, Auntie's going to die today, Mom. And then after some hours later, my mom received a call that the lady had passed away.
Sure.
So my mom was confused, like, so what do I call you? Are you a prophet? Are you a sangoma? Are you what? Because the things that you say, they come to pass. So that's, I would say I started hearing from a divine energy from a small age, but I did not really know whether was I hearing from God or what, was it just me or what is it? But I knew that there was something that was upon me.
Yes.
So,
and that happened often, that you would see things and they would happen?
I would see things and they would happen, and sometimes I would have attacks. Like, you know, sometimes we don't give attention to little kids.
Mm-hmm.
Although sometimes it can happen, like maybe they watched a movie and then they are starting to see
like
the one,
you know, the nightmare, the
you understand? Mara, yeah. I would see things like demons. Then I would cry to my mom, like, I'm seeing something. Then they'll be like, ah, no, rest. You know, I would tell them, no, I'm seeing some things here. Like, I remember we had this, my mother had this display that she put many glasses, many types of glasses.
Yes.
So from that display, I would see people inside there, like demons. And you know how demons look sometimes? Sure. They are funny. They can have like a human face, then they can have a nose of a pig, and they can have the eyes of an elephant. That's how demons look like. They just look scarce. So I would cry when I would see some things like that as a young boy, but they would not really give me attention because they thought like maybe just me growing up and being a child. So I would see things, and then I would see things, and then they would happen as a young boy.
Sure. And so now, how did, I would guess because then you were not really a Christian because you were going to an, you said Anglican church,
I was
right?
Going to an Anglican
so
church.
The church didn't help you align your gift in any way to say that, okay, you are prophetic or you are what, because it was just...
It didn't. Yeah. It didn't, because remember, Anglican, we don't have that time that they introduce you to the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
They don't have that. It's like we just go to church, we sing, the priest, he just speaks 30 minutes, then we go home. So I didn't have that person who would nurture what I had.
Okay.
You see, so that's the struggle that I had.
So obviously being an apostle now, it meant then you went to be like Christian in a charismatic
church and get born
church.
Again.
Yeah. When did that happen?
Okay, let me take you back.
Yeah.
Let me take you back. What? So, my father was born. My grandmother originally, she comes from Zambia.
Oh.
Then my grandfather, he comes from Mozambique.
Yeah.
So they met in Harare. So they didn't have a village. Like if you ask me, do I have a village? I don't have a village because my grandparents, they meet in town. Then they build a house in town. So my grandmother, they said that she was a healer, but as we mature in the spirit, we know that this is not healing, this is witchcraft.
Sure.
Because, like I always tell people, that the greatest achievement that the devil would have is for him to function in secrecy, that nobody knows that this is the hand of the devil. Because when we begin to be aware that this is the devil doing, this is the devil's doing, that's when we begin to be attentive and begin to pray, and he's defeated, because he's always defeated. So he tries by all means to manipulate us, to deceive us, so that we never know that it's him who's causing all those things.
You see,
so my grandmother is that kind of person that we don't really understand that it was she, but now we know that she was into, she is into those things, into witchcraft and all those things. So...
And this is your maternal or paternal?
It's from my father's side.
For your father, for your paternal.
Yeah. So, I just woke up one day, and then I told my parents, I want to go to my grandmother for holidays. So, we were not going there anymore because my father made a decision that I'm going to take my family out of this. Because my grandmother would do things we call in our language, bira. Like it's a ceremony where they initiate other people, witchcraft, other people. So it would happen the whole night. And there are these people, they call them musketeers. You know them, like they wear like animal skin all over the body. You don't see their face, they're covering themselves. Like they do these kind of dances. You don't see, some of them, they can wear like, you know, those big... wooden days, it can become a tall person. So they are into muti and all those things.
So your grandmother would initiate
all
so
those kind of people.
So she was like the
the high priest, the pope.
Yes.
That side.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm coming from. So to a point whereby when I would go to school as a young boy, I would feel her following me, and I would see her sitting like the primary school that I went to, there's a big ground before the school. I would see a big lady sitting in that ground, like she was like monitoring me. I would see those things as a one thing about kids, they don't lie sometimes. Especially when they see spiritual things, because you cannot make up things as a kid.
No.
So I would see her like following me as a young boy. So now I don't
know. But you wouldn't be there physically. This is her following you spiritually, you'd see her at school.
So imagine I just woke up and say, I want to go there for holidays. Mm-hmm. Then my father was like, no, we try to take you from there. We don't want you to grow up under that environment. Then I was like, no, I want to. Agree, she's my grandmother. Let me go there. And then they said, okay, if he wants to go, let's take him there. They packed my bags. I went there for holidays. I arrived there. You know what they do? They queue a chicken for you, celebrating you. Mm. So one day we went to the river, me and my grandmother. The story I'm telling now, even my parents don't know. We went to the river. She's initiating this man. She's putting snare all over the man. She's wearing a white garment. You know, the water is flowing. Like, initiations are happening. Mm-hmm. Everything is happening. I'm like, I'm just seeing as a little boy. I'm like, oh, it was. Sometimes it can be normal. Because you are growing under that environment.
Yes.
You see, so when bad things are happening to you, that can be normal. Like, oh, it's just a snare. Mara, if somebody knew, could see, like, hey.
They'd be shocked, yeah. Mm.
So the holiday was nice. So the day that I was about to go back home, saying maybe it was a Friday, schools are opening on Monday, she sent my cousin. We're about the same age. Then she said to my cousin, go and call him. And then my cousin called me, said, the grandmother is calling you. And I went to her room. Mm. So her room, it does not have light. Mm. Like, even if it's daytime, they close the window. And she does not have a bed. You know that wooden mat, that one you can roll? It's always on the floor.
Yes.
She sleeps on the floor. She does not sleep on the bed. Sure. I don't know why, but as I begin to grow, most people who are into that, they don't. Mm. You hear like Sangomas, they stay in the forest. Some, they don't eat food that is cooked. You know, they have all these kind of things that they do. So I entered that room, and then she gave me, the small clay pot. It's like a small bowl. Mm. The one that if you can break, it can break.
Yeah.
They usually use it at Sangomas. It all is. So she said, go and fill this with water.
Like the one they usually drink the traditional beer.
Exactly, that one. And then she said, go and fill this with water. And then I'm like, okay. Innocently, so I went there and then I put water into the bowl. Then I entered the bedroom. Then I gave her the bowl. So the moment she said thank you, the moment I stood up from there, I felt like I put something from me in the bowl. So when I left, when I stood up there, I felt empty. Like something has left me. You know when Jesus was with the woman of the issue of blood and then he stopped and he said, that's how I felt. Me. Like something left me. You left cannot really, at that age, you cannot really say that the gift left me, but you could feel something has left me here. Then from there, I became spiritually blind. I could not see anything how I used to see. I could not dream how I used to dream. I was now blind. And then what came next is now me growing up now without a gift. And we start doing. So my parents started coming to South Africa. My mom started coming, I think, 1993, like long time ago. She used to come with her mom here. Mm. So I did not grow up with my family. I grew up with my sisters, and my other sister was in boarding school, so I grew up with my other sister.
Okay.
So changed housemaid after housemaid, you know. So I didn't really have that parental upbringing that a kid should have, because my parents were always busy. They were coming here, you know. The economy was not that stable that they would stay as a family. Mm. They had to make the sacrifice to leave the family. Like, you know what, let's go and look for food. You guys do school here. So it wasn't easy, like, growing up. So I was not seeing anything. I was just living a life. I started playing football because my father was a footballer. He wanted me to play football also. So this time around 2010, 2011, I had a best friend of mine. So this friend of mine, I used to love him very much. Mara, as we were growing, he took my girlfriend. We were around grade 7. He took my
friendship ended.
Yeah, he took my girlfriend from me. I'm like, why would you take my girlfriend? Me and you are friends.
Yeah.
So this other day he came at our
code broken.
He broke it. He broke it. So this day he came to our place. Yeah. And then he's like, I'm like, you have the guts to come here when you've taken the life of my life. What do you mean, man? So he said, I want you to come to church with me. I'm like, church? He's like, yeah, church. I'm like, oh, okay, no problem. And then we went to church with him, at Pentecostal church this time. Then I entered the place, I'm seeing people speaking in tongues. I'm like, okay, it's nice. I'm seeing people praying, walking around. I'm hearing the preachings, the Bible is being, you know. I began to fall in love with it. Like, I felt like I was missing something for a long time when I entered that place. I'm like, wow, this is a good place. So that's how I gave my life to Jesus. Ooh. So it has never been a mistake to serve the Lord. I remember the first time that I spoke in tongues. I desired it a lot, but I could not have it because you don't force it. The Holy Spirit just comes and then you are filled. It just came to me. I was in Asha because I was serving at church, that church that I was now going.
Yeah.
And I was just standing. Then it just came to me. And then from there, I began to speak in tongues. And that's how I began to grow. We started going to mountains, you know, because I wanted to serve God. Like I'd given God my all. We started going to mountains with my friends. Would hear God. God would speak at the mountains. You know, everything would happen. You would feel like, yeah, we are living the life here, you know. So you we moved to another place. And then I joined another church. Okay. So the pastor I was submitting to then began to spread rumors that, you know, he's a Satanist. You know, what is happening these days in ministry is I'm kind of an old school pastor. I like the things of old, not these things that are happening now that people are doing ministry for their own personal benefits. They are afraid to lose people. Like, if this one can take this one, I'm going to lose them. That's not how God wants it, because you don't own people. You just preach to people, whether they stay or they go. So I was now influencing the younger ones. Guys, let's go to the mountains and pray, because I was coming from that. So they used to like it. Like, no, let's join you. Let's go and pray. So I began to hear rumors like
but
that.
But now you look like a competition.
You
something.
See, I began to hear rumors like, he's going to influence you into Satanism. He's going to initiate you. Then it was very bad to me. Like, you know, I don't have anyone to report to. My parents are in South Africa. I'm back home. And then I started having that trauma. Like, why am I being attacked for saving God, you know? And I would ask the guys, do we do anything funny when we're at the mountain? No, we just pray and we read the Bible. So why are all these things spreading? So it was painful to me.
It was hurtful, I can imagine.
So to a point whereby I would go and look for my other brothers, church friends there. I would knock. If they hear my name, they would now keep quiet. I'm like, okay. To a point whereby my pastor told my other friend, like, this guy is going to influence you. When he influences you, he's going to go to South Africa where his parents are, and then he's influenced your life badly. Then my friends would tell me that the pastor is saying all this about you. Then I was hurt. I was hurt. Like, church is a place where we are supposed to go to, and now it's a place we are now attacked. So this other friend of mine invited me to this other church. So I left that place because I wanted to grow and I didn't want anything to disturb me. So I went to the new church now. Everything was fine. The pastor was prophesying. You know, there are people who can hear God out there. But I learned something which I will also share. Everything was fine. To a point, like, now I love the word so much. I study the word. So I was now preaching for this man of God, and then he would enter and then he would prophesy and do all the deliverance. So God now told me, this is not the place for you. But me, because I'm liking the fancy things that are happening there, you know, they would dress nice, they would, you know, lie. I was with this so-and-so celebrity, I was with this, I'll take you to his house. So you as a young boy, you're like, oh, I want to see him. So we stayed because we were being told those things, like, you know, it's a good, so God was telling me, don't go. I kept on saying, I know God, it's a good, I cannot leave. I left somewhere again, now I live here.
Again.
No. So this other day, I listened to God because I did not like how the church was being held. Like I told you before, I'm a person, like, I come from the apostolic background. I like that apostolic, the Paul Peter thing. I like it. So what was happening, I did not like it. So I was having questions when I was attending there. Then I decided, like, you know what? Let me stop going. If God told me to leave it, I won't go. Then I'm at home one day. He called me. And then he said, I want you to go and preach somewhere. And then I'm like, okay, no problem. I wear my suit. I went to church. And then he said, so the distance, they were saying I should go and preach like from here to Cape Town and then come back the next morning. It's impossible because Cape Town is like so far. Then I knew like this man is lying. And me, I want to grow. I want to pray. I want to serve God. Mm. So this other friend of mine, he has an all-night prayer. And then he said, come preach for me. I have an all-night. And then, so the pastor, I knew he was lying for me to go and preach to that far place. And then he said, no, you can sleep here. So I grew up with my sister. My parents are not there. Mm. My sister would be like, you can stay late, but I don't want you to sleep outside. And then I'm like, I don't have to sleep here. I have to go home to my sister. Then I left his place, the pastor's place. Mm-hmm. I went to my friend's all night. We prayed. Everything was fine. We went home. So the next day, the pastor now came to our place. Then I was sitting with my sister and my friend that I was preaching for the night before. And then the pastor came. Then he's like, come here. How did you go yesterday? I'm like, no, it's fine. I just left. I went to a church of my friend. It was fine. Mm-hmm. He's like, I didn't like it. Let's go to my house. And then we drove to his house. Mm. And when we got there, we enter his bedroom. He closed the door.
Hey.
And then when he closed the door, now, you know, when you have submission, you give your life.
Yeah. Mm.
You trust people.
Mm.
You don't think like anything.
You don't think, happen.
And then he said, I'm going to beat you today.
Huh.
Me, I'm like, I know, Papa. No, let me wash your car and then everything will be fine. You know, I'm just, you know,
just
I'm a child
the
there.
Yes.
And then he said, no. So I saw he was serious. He was working with two bouncers.
Ah. He's angry because you didn't go to that far place to go and preach.
Which he was lying.
Which was impossible for you to do it anyway. So
he was angry that why did I leave?
Serious. So he's using
He's angry that why did I leave his house? So I'm in the bedroom now. Mm-hmm. He's saying, I want to beat you.
Mm.
I'm thinking what God told me, you shouldn't come to this place anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then his bouncers are standing at the door. And he told them, I said, you're not going to beat me. I don't want to attend your church anymore. Open the door, let me go.
Right then, there.
Yeah. Because God was telling me, so I had to speak out like, no, enough is enough. I don't want to come here anymore. And then he's like, you know what? I'm going to beat you. I'm going to show you how to behave. Guys, tie him up.
Uh-uh.
So they tie me up with shoelace,
the
hands and the legs. The guy began to beat me.
This is a man of God who's got a church.
He has a church.
Congregation.
A following. He had
a following.
He had up to like 200 people by then. Was using this hall. It was full. Then he began to beat me. Like I was tied, the legs and the hands. He began to beat me. You know, I've never been beaten like that by my parents or anybody else. You know, the belt was hitting me on the neck, on the face, like with the belt. You know, I could not cry. Tears were only falling down my eyes. The only thing that was running through my mind was regret. Like, God, you said it.
Yes, I must leave this place.
I must leave this place. Now this is happening to me. I could not cry. I could not scream. I could not do anything. I was being beaten. Like, he beat me for like 20 minutes. I could not move, you know. So after he finished beating me, he's like, I want us to go and visit this one great man of God. So prepare. I knew it was just a bribery. Then I was like, no, let me go. Let me go. Then he was like, no, you want to see that man? He's a great man of God. Let's go there. I'm like, no, let me go. So what I wanted to do, I wanted to go home and tear my Bible. And then quit. Like, you know what? I no longer pray. I left the roots of my grandmother, how my father was raised. I should do these things. Church, I don't want it anymore. So I left the house. He's like, no, let me escort you. I'm like, no, let me walk. You know, if you ever, like, cried to a point where when you wipe it, it keeps on coming down.
Yo.
And then you're like, oh, let me just leave these tears flow. Because I tried to, you know, I kept on crying along the way going home. I just wanted to get home and tear the Bible. Like, I don't want this anymore.
You've
like, I'm tired.
So much church. It's emotional abuse. Yeah. It's physical abuse. It's psychological abuse.
Your mom is not there. My parents are not there.
Yes.
I only have a sister. The church I was going to before, something like this happened again. Now the new one, I'm being beaten now. I'm walking down the road. I'm thinking, because you know my Bible, like I write when I receive a revelation.
Mm.
I write it on the Bible, in the Bible. Oh. So if I can break that Bible or a tear, I know like I lose a lot of things. So I was like, you know what, God, I'm going to break it. I don't want anything to do with church. So I was walking, going home. And then I heard the voice of a man of God that I was listening to.
Mm.
He passed away a long time ago. His name is Benson Idahosa, Archbishop Benson Idahosa. And then he said, we are still counting on you. That's what he said to me. And then I'm like, okay. I went home. I entered the house. I could not speak. I just lay down on my sister's laps. And then she said, why is your heart beating so fast?
Mm.
I could not speak. I just did this. Like, I showed her.
Show this, God.
You know, the Bible says, from henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have those marks, man. Sure. I have them. And then I just did this to her, and then she was like, what happened? She knew that the person who came and took me here was that pastor.
The one who
she called him. She called the pastor, and she started shouting at the pastor. I could not hear. She went to the police. And then we opened a case. When the police saw me, they were like, yo, this guy must go to the hospital. Let's write a report for him to go to the hospital because it's a damage the way they beat him. How can you beat somebody someone with a belt like on the neck? It's not good. So the police woman was helping us. You could see love in her. Like, she wanted to help us. So they called the pastor, like, come to the police station because there's a case about you. You did something wrong here. So me, I'm now, my hope is on the police now. Like, at least I'm going to get justice here. So we see him walking into the police station with another police guy. And the other police guy is giving a sign to the woman. Like, he winked his eye like he's mine.
Like, don't then, touch
like,
this
yeah,
one.
Don't touch this one. Everything's under control, you know. And then that's how the story, they came. Then the police said he wants to say sorry. I'm like, he wants to say sorry only. There's nothing that the police can do.
Like,
they said, no.
This is abuse.
Let him apologize. My sister cried. Like, no. The marks are still there. This guy was beaten in the morning. It means he was... So he only have to say sorry. What about the damages he has caused to my brother? And then I told my sister, no, take me home. Because I was tired of crying. I'm like, take me home. I just want to rest. Then I went home. That's when the trauma began. Now the people from the previous church, they heard that.
What happened?
He went to the... And you know, pastors, whenever a person leaves the church, they always say, I don't know why we do that as pastors. I'm also involving myself. Like, if a person can leave you, we always say, it won't be nice with you wherever you're going. So the pastor was, I told you. I told you. So everyone I would meet in the road was now telling me, we heard that you were beaten. We heard that you were beaten. So I closed myself in the house for a long time. I could not go out because where would I go now?
You don't want to face the world. Cause
I can't.
It's a lot to deal with.
I can't. I cannot go out. My friends will start to say, hey, you were beaten by a pastor. You know, church is the first place where we should run to. But if it becomes the place we run away from, then where do we go? So I suffered a lot of trauma to a point whereby
people... And this previous pastor is now celebrating like, yeah, I told you there was something wrong with this guy.
I told you he's
satanism. I told you. So they're beginning to believe that. So now your faith is like sinking at this point.
And I don't have where to run to.
Ish.
Then I tried going back to the previous church, but it was not nice for me because the treatment was not good. I suffered in the... As a man of God, as a young man of God, that's when I decided to send my parents a message and say, you know what, can I at least go to Bible school? Maybe there I can get help. Maybe there it can be better. That's when I went to Bible school.
Okay.
So I began to serve God. God began to speak to me. So, you know, growing up as a young man, there are some mistakes that we do.
Mm-hmm.
And... our family don't really accept us in those moments of growing up, that it becomes difficult for us to move on from how we were treated when we were doing those things. Let's say it's a drug addict, you are drinking, you are doing clubbing and all those things. When you leave it, they fail to really understand that you have left it.
Mm-hmm.
So when I became a man of God, I had this thing of, I'm self-made. I don't need to hear from anybody. I was alone when God called me in the mountain. I can do this thing on my own. Even when God would speak to me, I'll be like, yeah, I'm self-made. When my mother tried to give me advice, like, because I preach all over my friends, and they could call me, come and preach. My mom would be like, no, I think you should focus on your own growth. Don't go and preach too much. I'm like, no, you were not there when God was calling me. It's all about me, you know. So because I was having this thing of, when I experience a lot of things, you were in South Africa.
So you won't understand.
So it's me, it's about me. So I had this pride that nobody can tell me anything. I'm self-made, you know. To a point whereby I begin to pray to God and say, Lord, I want more of you. Open spiritual doors for me, ministerial doors, open them for me. I was seeking God, I was fasting, I was in a deep fast. And one day I'm at home. I'm not sleeping. I'm just calm on my bed. And then I woke up at a very, very far place. That place, like if we would travel, it would take us maybe years to get there. It's a far place. You can feel the atmosphere you get to that environment, that this is a far place. This place is not familiar. Then I saw the Lord Jesus sitting on a well. You know, I always, I don't criticize, but I always have a question when people say they met the Lord and they asked him, are you Jesus? And then the Lord said, yes, I am Jesus. And then he gets on to say, are you really Jesus? And then the Lord Jesus would say, yes, it's me, Jesus. Yes. When you meet Jesus, you know, don't need any explanation. Then I met him sitting on the well. You know, there's one thing when you would want to describe him, how he was sitting, majesty. That's the word I can use.
Sure.
Majesty. And he was sitting there. His hair was like up to here. His eyes was fire. But it's not that fire that can burn. Mm-mm. It's that fire that is attracting. Like, you'd want to touch the fire, and it does not burn you. And he's sitting there. If he could walk in this room now, I can identify him like it's him. But if I would want to say, let me remember that face, I can't remember him. Oh. But if I would describe it, I can't. You understand? He's too big. He's too big to a point
to describe
of.
Describe in humanly
exactly.
ways.
His face cannot be in my memory. He's too big. He cannot be stuck
he's
in
too
my memory.
Mighty.
Exactly. Like if I would
to
say.
To stay like a human being, no.
Yeah. We can only describe him, but we cannot keep his picture in us. Like he looks like. We can only describe him, but he cannot. You understand what I'm trying to say? So.
Oof.
So at the well that he was there, it was not coming water, like it was coming gold coins that were mixed with water. So there were angels that were busy. Like in heaven, people work, like there is too much activity. Like they don't relax, like, you know, those books that we see, like in heaven, you see they are running around. No, it's a place of working. It's a place of administration. They are working.
So which means this well that you were at was in heaven.
Yeah.
Wow.
But it was not, I would not say it was really in heaven. Maybe it was like, you know, the outside court before we enter the real heaven. So if I would say that I went to heaven, I'd be lying. I went to the outside gate of the heavens. I would tell you why. So I got closer to him. So I had a small bag with me that had the same coins that were being well.
Yeah.
So I removed my bag.
Yes.
And then I said these words, I saved this for you, my master.
Aww.
And then God is not judgmental, but you judge yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
When you don't deserve to be there, you know.
You can feel
when you're around Jesus, there is always this thing that tells you that I don't belong here. There is this thing that makes you feel like I'm not worthy, but by His grace, I'm standing here. That's why angels, they have wings, because of the glory of God is too much.
Sure.
whenever God is there, His glory is too much that they can't balance. They have those wings so that they can balance the glory of God.
Yo.
So I'm there. And then I said, I saved these ones for you, my master. I gave him a bunch of coins. Then he only picked two. And then I'm like, no, all of them are for you. Mm-hmm. All of these are for you. And then he only picked two coins. Then I was upset. I saved all this for you and you're only picking two. Mm. And then he said, you are suffering from unforgiveness.
Eh.
Go and fix your life. Then I knew that if I would die that day, I was never going to enter heaven because of the unforgiveness that I had. So I begin to think, unforgiveness from...
For who?
For who?
Who is this that I have not forgiven?
Then I knew
pastor, maybe.
It was that pastor now.
Hey.
And then God would tell me that if you want me to use you, you have to forgive that pastor. I'm like, no. No, I can't. I have evidence. My sister knows. Mm. Some people know that he's the one who's wrong.
I had bruises. I had scars.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, you want to justify the pain like, and
I
the
can't.
Traumatic yeah. event.
I can't forgive him, Lord. It's not fair. It's like if you want to enter the dimensions that I want you to enter into, you don't enter like that. Forgive. Let go. Mm. I begin to send messages to everybody that I felt like I had an issue with. He was the last one. My sister was asking me, are you going to die? Why why are you sending us messages like this?
Yeah.
Because I remember.
You're making...
Yeah, why?
Mm. Peace with everyone.
Because they always say that a person who's about to die knows. Mm-hmm. So they try to make peace, you know. And then I sent him a message.
Yeah.
Because I remember I told him, like, you know what? Your church is going to close. God loves me very much. I kiss you. Everything's going to go down.
You messed with the wrong one.
Yeah, you messed with the wrong kid now. Everything is going to be bad for you. Then I said to him, I'm sorry for what I said, but I was angry. I release you. And then all he said was, thank you. But, you know, there is one thing that I learned on the thing of forgiveness. Forgiveness, it helps you. It does not help the person you're forgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Because many times we forgive people who have forgotten what they did to us.
Yes. Yeah.
So I really thank the Lord because I felt something left me when I forgave him.
Yeah.
So us holding grudges sometimes it's a disadvantage to us than the person who did wrong to us.
Yes.
Yeah. So I let him go. And I began to experience God in a mighty way.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
God began to open doors. I was preaching. I went to Mozambique. I preached. And now came here to South Africa. Doors were opening for me to preach. Like,
so would you then say after you were born again, what seemed like it was power that left you or your gift had left you in that, you know, container from your grandmother, would you say that you were starting to... feel restored, you know, from who you are? Did you feel like you are walking within your purpose and your gift is restored? Were you feeling like yourself again, finally?
Yeah, when I went, when he invited me to church, when I gave my life to Christ, that's when the restoration process began.
Ooh, power.
Although I was falling in the wrong hands, but me giving my life to Christ was a starting point of the restoration that the thing that I lost. So I began to pray and then I began to see God doing miracles in my life, personally, having encounters and God working miracles through me and preaching and all those things. And so, you know, the devil would always try to take you back.
Mm-hmm.
He always tried, because the people who go, they always say that God's chosen ones are the devil's target. If you are not chosen, then the devil does not care about you because he has power to. So, I always like to meditate. You know, I always like to listen to music. So this day I'm just praying, meditating on scriptures, and then a being appeared in the house.
What a being!
A being,
You
know, the demons, they don't have bodies, so they will try to. They can try to. So that we can see them, on the flesh, they will try to portray something so that we can see that is something. So now it came in the house, and the demons, they smell, they have this bad smell. It came in the house now. You know, you can see like it's trying to get a form, but it's failing to get a form. And then it came in the house, it's smelling like, you know, when a car has done brakes, that smell of tire, that's okay. How it was smelling. And then it said to me, God has called you in two ways. Number one, you are good in music. And number two, you are very good at preaching. You're a man of God. That's what he said to me. But I want to show you something in the music field. And then I'm like, okay. So the moment I said okay, it's like I gave it power to take me wherever it wanted to take me.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden we appeared at this hall. This hall had like 100,000 people. Pegged people. I saw all celebrities, like in America, like many.
Like that you know that people are listening to right now.
People that are listening to the hip hop, the R&B. I saw them.
In that crowd.
In that crowd. Yeah. In that hall.
What were they doing? Just sitting.
It was like you know, like an award ceremony.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Like it's a day of awards, performance, and all that. So there were many in that atmosphere. So I begin to see beautiful women there that had breast here on the forehead.
Yeah, yo.
And then I'm like, what are these ladies? Why do they look like this? And then a voice, I think that being or that demon, begin to tell me, these are the most beautiful ladies on earth. But this is how they look originally. This is how they look like. So these are the ones that are taking people to the kingdom of darkness. But this is how they look like. So on earth, they appear like they're very, very beautiful. Yeah. But if God would open our eyes spiritually, you would see like they have like breast here. If I would see a woman with a breast here in the sea, I'm like, oh, what is
what's
that?
Yeah.
That's how they look. And I'm like, oh. And then they were like escorting me. Like I was like a VIP there. They were escorting me. Then I saw one big hip hop artist. Like maybe he's in the top five of the best rappers in the hip hop. He was like a security guard there.
Hey.
And then he you know, people, they are struggling. When they are serving the devil, they struggle there. What they get here, it's we see it as wealth, but they don't enjoy that wealth because of how they get it.
Ay.
Because of the covenants.
You see, they are struggling there. In hell, they are washing plates there. Ay. They are doing difficult things there. So when they are now
they are slaves there. Yeah.
So as when we now see them, like, hey, he's driving a Lamborghini. He's pushing a wheelbarrow because he's laboring hard for it.
He doesn't sleep.
Ay. You see,
Ay.
So that rapper gives me a handshake. Like, he's respecting me. I'm like, okay. Then they give me a chair. Let me say, they gave me a throne. And then I sit there. So when I sit there, on my side, there was a guy. But this guy was a gay. So they said this guy was supposed to be my wife.
Hey!
So the moment I saw the guy that he was now, he's a gay guy, my eyes opened and I began to see lesbians. I began to see gay people. You know, I always have a problem with people who say, I was once asked a question by somebody who said, they said, what would you do if a gay person or a lesbian would enter church?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And then I'll be like, I'll preach to them. So people are like, no, don't judge them. They are fine. What happens with those people? It's a spirit. It's not them. It's a spirit that is in them. So should we chase them away from church? No, we should not chase them away from church. But we should preach Jesus to them so that they change. Sure. We should not accept a demon in the church in the name of we accept everything. We should help them.
Yeah.
So when I begin to see them, that's when God begin to minister to me like, oh, this is a spirit. So you would see like we are now creating a room like there are special people that we have to treat like this. Yet it's a spirit that we are specializing in the church. Like if they need deliverance, we should not change them in the church, but we should help them preach Christ to them. The only way to change a person in life is to preach Jesus to them. So I'm there, and I begin to see them. They even changed my name. They called me Khalid. K-H-A-L-I-D.
But so
because of you.
At this point, you're thinking you are away if you're even getting a new name. And do you think you are being initiated into some
music industry?
Yeah.
The inner, I don't know what to call it, but whatever.
They are now, I'm there now. Like, I'm there.
You can even sing people that you know are popular.
If I would say names, I would say them. Fearlessly so. Because I know and I saw them. If I would say the name, I would. Then I'm there. So this my wife now, the gay guy. He stands up and then he begins.
You have a wife, you even have a name, a new name.
And a chair.
They give you a whole new different identity.
Yeah, they wanted to change my identity. Yeah. Because that's what I liked it when you said identity. That is what they do even in the kingdom of God. Remember when Jacob wrestled with an angel before he would be introduced in the new, they changed his name. The devil will change your name. For you to function there, you are given a name, you are given a task.
Obviously, he copies everything.
Exactly.
It's like he tried to do.
Yeah. Oh.
Yay.
So, my wife now, this guy, he stood up, he begins to clap his hands when I'm sitting on the throne.
Clapping for you?
Yeah, clapping for me. And then everybody begin to clap their hands. I'm like, why are you clapping my your hands? Because they said they are about to announce the winner. And then I'm like, so why are you clapping your hands? Because they have not yet announced. Yes. They said even before they announced, we know you who's going to be the winner. Then I'm like,
how do you know?
So they announced my name. Khalid, you're the winner. Now I'm now Khalid now. There's no longer Aaron there. Then I stood up as I'm about to go and receive the award. I think if I would have received the award, I was now
accepted
it.
Yeah.
That's when my wife now wakes me up. Like, the alarm for work. Now it's time to go to...
So then I woke up. This is now your real wife.
Yeah.
Real
wife. No. I left there.
You could have spiritual world. You could have been gone, Mus.
Yeah. Then I woke up.
Hey, you're going to wake up famous. Award-winning
four.
Platinum.
I was supposed to win 4 awards that
day.
Yeah. Then I woke up. And then I'm like, oh, something happened to me. I did not tell anyone. I went to work like that. Then when I came back home that very night, I'm just sitting again. And then now, the moment I just close my... You know, sometimes I always say that God is always speaking to us every time during the day. But he comes at night. If we are too busy for him during the day, he comes at night when we are sleeping. But he won't be as accurate as he wanted to be during the day. Same applies as the Satanic kingdom. They are communicating every minute, every second. Even now, they are trying to give us ways to speak. Even every minute, they are speaking. So the moment that you are resting, because I feel like they just waited for me to close my eyes. The moment I close my eyes, they come back again. Now they are now 6 now.
So it's like it's continuing.
It's continuing
from last
now.
Night.
From last night. Now they are now 6 now. And they are having a gold crown in their hands.
They're
and
what?
A gold crown.
Oh.
And they want to force the crown on my head. Wear this crown. And then I'm like, no, I don't want to wear this crown. I don't want this.
People.
I say Jesus. Jesus was not there. You know, there are moments. God is everywhere, but there are moments where he wants you to make a choice. There are moments where he's saying, "You have my word there. Speak my word." When Jesus was being tempted by the devil, would we say God was not there?
God
was there. He's omnipotent, omnipresent.
But he had to make that choice.
Yeah. He had to make that choice for himself. That are you going to save the devil, or are you going to continue saving God? So I'm in that moment where I have to make a choice. Should I wear that crown?
But you could feel that this is an evil presence. This is not this is not, you're not getting initiated with by angels. Like, you know, this is the kingdom of darkness.
There's one thing about angels. When you meet angels and when you meet demons, angels, they carry the love of God.
Mm.
So we are made in God's image.
Mm-hmm.
When you see an angel, you see a part of you. Like, you know, when you see these cups, these three cups, it's from the same make.
Mm.
It might be different colors, but the same make. Mm. So you can easily identify, like,
it's one of ours.
Yeah, you understand?
Okay, so, I hear you.
But when you see demons, it's totally different.
Okay.
Like,
okay.
It's a fight. You see them, it's a fight. Always, like, they are here to... there's no way a demon can come.
Peace.
You see, it's a fight when you see
sent
them.
By the devil.
So they're trying to force that crown on my head. I'm refusing. And then one said, if you refuse to take this crown, we are going to cause untimely death to your mother. And then I told my wife, I'm like, can you check on mama now? And then she said, I'll check on him, on her.
This when you woke up?
It's now happening, like life.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, can you check on mom now? She's texted my mom. My mom's phone was not going through. So I'm feeling like I'm about to die. Because one thing we are ignorant, the devil is powerful, but God is the most powerful of all. But devil has power. So we tend to forget that he has some certain level of power. So I would feel like I was now losing my life.
Yo.
Then I'm like, what do I do now? I tried speaking in tongues, I tried praying, it's not working. Then I said to my wife, can you read out loud the Bible? Then I said, can you read Psalms 23, Psalms 24 for me? Read it out loud.
Loud, yes.
And then she's now opening the phone slowly now. Now I'm about to die. I'm like, read it.
You are in a battlefield.
I'm like,
here.
Read the Bible, man. Read the Bible. Because I knew, like, if I would hear those words in the Bible,
yes,
I would fight for my life. So I'm
exactly.
like, she's now scrolling slowly. Look, I'm like... read the Bible. Like, I was angry. Then finally she began to read the Bible.
Yeah.
And then it's not getting better, but I would feel like it's getting worse now. Then I told her, can you call my pastor for me?
You felt like you're gonna die.
I feel like I'm about to die.
Then, because you're refusing the offer.
I'm refusing the offer, and now they are saying, if you refuse, we are gonna cause untimely death to your mother. So I'm like, can you call my pastor now? I'm about to die. So the moment she calls my pastor, he said hello, but I heard him saying the reading was fake, like the Psalms 23 and 24, it's fake, like it's not working.
Yeah.
I'm like,
what? Who was saying that?
That's I'm hearing a voice saying
on the phone.
The reading is fake.
It is not hearing the hello from the pastor.
Mm.
Now he's hearing a response
I'm hearing.
So those people are still responding.
Yeah.
They've interfered with the network now.
Exactly.
Eh.
I'm like, the reading is fake. So the Psalm 23 and 24 is not working. What do I do now? And then I told my pastor that I'm having spiritual attacks, Papa. It's too much. I feel like I'm about to die. And now they are now forcing a crown on me. So what do I do now? Then he said, just keep on praying. Keep on mentioning the name of Jesus. And then I kept on praying. You know, there's this thing that it usually happens. I don't know if you've, it has ever happened to you, that you are sleeping and something like presses you.
Yes.
And you are trying to wake up. You can't wake up. So after that call, after I prayed, it's like there was a calm. Then I fell asleep. I'm thinking, thank you, Lord, for delivering me all that. Then it comes. So the Lord opened my eyes to actually see what really happens in that process. You know what happens? It's not like somebody is pressing you like what we feel. No. It's there is power in music. So in the dark world, they sing songs. And then the aroma or what can I say that is coming from the what they are saying, it carries power. Remember, in the spiritual world, words are not actually words, but words are
They're like life. They're being,
they live. That's why the Bible says, my word shall not come back to me void without accomplishing that which I sent it to do. Meaning to say, if somebody's praying for a car, God releases the car. And then it comes. So if you are not serious enough in the prayers you're making, the car can locate somebody who's praying for the same thing you're praying for, because it can't go back to heaven without accomplishing which it was sent for. You understand? So that is what was happening. I'm being praised now. So I knew that they were singing incantations.
Hey.
So those words they are speaking, the way they go on top of you.
They are pressing you.
And the ways they are singing, they press you. That is why we don't take praise and worship serious in church, but it has carries so much power,
so much. Come on.
Maybe than the preaching, because what we are actually saying, it's producing life. It's carrying objects. Those words are objects. They are doing something. They are building something. That's why they had to walk around the walls of Jericho. They were not praying, but they were singing. Those words, they carried so much power and force to break the walls. So that's what they do in the dark world also, because the devil is always imitating what God does. They enter a room. They sing songs for them to enter portals. They sing songs to bewitch us.
It's like they charge the atmosphere as well. In the same way we worship.
With worship, yes.
To charge the atmosphere.
So I'm being praised like that. I'm being praised. And then I began to pray. I began to pray. And then as I closed my eyes, the Lord came to me again. But now he's holding a mantle like a handkerchief. And then as he gave me that handkerchief, it's written a scripture inside, Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about healing all that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And then God told me that I'm starting a new walk with you. That's how I was delivered from the attacks that happened to me. Now God gave me a new purpose now.
A new purpose.
And he said, from today onwards, you're going to take my word as far as you can get it.
Jesus.
So I really thank the Lord for choosing me and for allowing me to be a conduit to reach out to his people.
Amen.
You know, there is nothing that has happened that I don't know of. God finds ways of telling me things. This is going to happen. This is like recently, my sister.
Wrap it up. Sorry, because we're out of time. Yeah.
All right. Like recently when my sister was attacked, as it was a spiritual attack, but it ended up affecting her
physically.
My angel came home. Like, there is a place where I pray, where I feel like it usually comes there. So my angel does not speak. Mara, I can hear him communicate. It's not like he comes and he says, God wants to do A, B, C, D in your life. Mara, he can come and then he can stand. As he stands, I can hear what he's saying without him saying any word. I don't know how it happens. I don't know how God has made it. But I know what he's saying to me when he's just looking at me. He came and then he told me, your sister is about to fall sick. And then he left. And then I told my wife, I'm like, my sister's about to fall sick. The next day, my other sister called me. And then she told me that our sister, a cockroach, you know, a cockroach, entered her ear. And then if when the cockroach entered the ear, she can't talk. She can't speak. She's powerless. And then I'm like, oh, God said it through his angel yesterday. So God always, I have a lot of things to say. God always finds ways to communicate to me about the things that are happening to me, about the things that are happening in the world, about the things that are happening in the Christian community. So I really thank God for using me and for taking me to this stage that I am with him, as we grow with God every day.
Exactly. Making a choice every day to choose him. So where's your grandmother now before we close?
She's there. She's still alive.
Is she still operating? Is she still doing what she was doing?
She's doing that. You know, people in witchcraft, they like having many children. You know why? Because they eat the years of their children.
Yeah?
Yes. Do you know that there are people that they don't die. They are 97, 87, 84.
But it's
but they are burying
years.
Their kids like nobody's business. It's because they made the covenant that when my child reaches so and so age, I take her years, then she dies. When my child reaches so and so years, I take her years.
But now you're working for two different kingdoms.
Yeah.
And you are both aware of that. Is it not awkward when
it
you
is.
Go home?
It is. It is like there are some times where I would want to challenge it. You know, there are some of my siblings who are there with her. They can say, she's here, she's not feeling well. I can be like, give her the phone. She does not want.
No, because you know
like,
she's going to
she
pray
knows.
For her.
She knows. Like, no, she's sleeping. She says she'll talk to you when she's awake, you know. Yeah, so our paths will never cross because of either one who has to fall when we meet. So I thank God that...
Yo, and how's your sister?
She's fighting. She's fighting. She's
and
fighting.
Your mom?
My mom is a prayer warrior. I managed to introduce my family into So I'm happy. I'm happy to at the point that I've taken my family so far. Yeah, it was not easy. Like if you would see pictures of me back then and now, you'd see like. This is God.
This God. Is God.
Yeah, so.
And how's your wife handling the gift?
It's not easy.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you go home, you don't want to talk.
Mm.
And then they're expecting. So that's what I would want to say as we close to some pastors.
Yeah.
There is a time to be a man of God. There's a time to be a father.
Yes.
There's a time to be somebody's husband.
Yes.
So some of them, sometimes they're expecting their husband and you're showing them the man of God. And sometimes they're expecting the man of God and you're showing them the husband. Like they say, pray for me, some things are happening to me and you are the husband that time. You understand? So it needs somebody who understands like...
Hey.
Now this is the man of God who's
talking. Yeah, that one is an episode on its own. I'm telling you, this hurts.
But she's handling it well. I thank the Lord. She's trying. She's trying.
Wow, no, bless her.
Amen.
When she read those some scriptures, I could feel for her. Like, hey, the pressure of it was hot in that room. Like, just really. Sure. Wow. Thank you so much for sharing.
Oh, amen. Thank you, Apostle Aaron.
Sure. Amen. I also thank you for having me.
Hectic. Yeah. And this was it. The moment you said you're an apostle, I'm like, hey. That's a heavy title, you know, because I know people who are called, you know, especially if you're called, like you say, you're a born prophet. People like that, there's always a story. There's always so much that happens in your life because of the attack that comes because of the call, you know. So, we bless God for you. Thank you for sharing your story. God bless your ministry, your family. And then you must come back again when you have another encounter because, pastor, but I forgive him as well.
You forgive him?
Yeah. I forgive him. Hopefully he's also repented and changed. Because you can forgive someone, but if they're still in that same state of mind, they can still do to someone else.
Okay,
Saint Fam, that is all that we have for you for today's episode. We hope that you truly enjoyed that as much as we did. Make sure to comment down below and let us know what your thoughts are of this episode. Also, do remember to please follow us on all our social media platforms. We look forward to your feedback. You can also send us an email. We go through all our emails. Until next time, from myself, Innocent,
and myself, Millicent, and of course, Apostle Aaron and our team behind the scenes. It's bye for now.
I've been through the most, been through the most.